Psalm 133. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. It's nice when everybody in the family gets along. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. David says it's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. When Aaron, the high priest, was anointed, the aroma of the holy anointing oil filled the air and joy filled the hearts of the people. Good times. He says it is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. Mount Hermon is known for its greenness. Even in summer, it's green. It's because of the dew. Mount Zion isn't nearly so high, but from May to October, there is no dew. There's virtually no moisture at all, and the ground becomes parched. Imagine if the dew of Hermon descended on Zion. Blessing, refreshment coming down from above. That, says David, is what it's like when God's children dwell together in unity. Yes, it is good when everybody in God's family gets along. But why? For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. When God's family get along, that's when God blesses his children, where they dwell together in unity. That's where God bestows everlasting life. Unity is important. Jesus said so. I do not pray for these alone, but for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. So apart from anything else, unity is essential if we want to glorify God and witness to the world. Oneness is what they expect of us. Oneness puts the love of God and his power and glory on display. It sets us apart, or it should. By this will all men know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Unity is not sameness. It's not compromise. It's not agreeing that anything goes for the sake of peace. Unity is when people who are different share the same goal and work together in harmony. They are not the same. They complement each other. Like pieces of a jigsaw, they are all different, but one in its own is not much use. You need to have all the pieces together to get the whole picture, and it's the fact that the pieces are different that makes the picture interesting. There's not a lot of that kind of unity in the church today. I suppose that's hardly surprising when you think about what's working against it. Selfishness, ignorance, misunderstanding, pride. And Satan, of course, is playing on those strings like a maestro, winding, stirring, and provoking. With all that going on, it is hardly surprising that backbiting, suspicion, mistrust, and even hostility are never far away. It's a constant battle to maintain unity in any church, let alone between churches. But even if that were not the case, it would still not mean that there would be unity, for unity is not just living in peace. It is everyone actively working together toward the same goal. too many come to church, listen to the sermon, say hello to their friends and go back home to work on their own goals. It's all very peaceful, but it's not unity. So how do you unite a church? How do you get people to get along? First, they have to die to self. Self, pride, ambition, being opinionated, wanting it my way and thinking I know better and I am better have to go out the window. People who live for themselves have no part in a united church. Self has to be nailed to the cross. It has to die. Then they have to be born again. Old selfish desires have to be replaced with new desires for God's glory. Assured vision. Commitment to the common task. People whose whole direction in life is not to live for God's glory, they have no part in a united church either. They have to die to self, they have to be born again, and they have to keep putting the way they used to be to death, for self will keep trying to get down from that cross. Then they have to do battle with the enemy every day and deal with their differences, for there always will be some, with the utmost care. Those differences have to be dealt with in love. And remember, love means putting the person you differ with first. Is it a hopeless task? No, it can't be, because Jesus prayed for it. Unity itself is a blessing from God. A blessing, not an achievement. If you enjoy a degree of unity in your church, that is God's blessing. Now, that's not to say you don't have to do all those things I've said. You do have to work positively to maintain unity. Strive to enter in at the narrow gate. As far as it lies with you, live at peace with all men. And it is hard work. Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Are you making it a priority? You must, because where there is unity, that's where God blesses his children. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Spare a thought for those poor mums and dads on the road to Jerusalem. Families travelling together, whole bunch of kids, most of them other people's kids in tow, days on the road, long hard journey. I can guess what prompted this song. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Before we finish, it was David who wrote this psalm. So David knew all about the beauty and the importance of God's people dwelling in unity. But David blew it. I'm thinking about that sin with Bathsheba and how God said, Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me. So be careful. And you kids bickering in the back, would you ever stop?